Welcome to What's Ailing the World, the ultimate in reality radio with info that can save your life. On the show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life and administer biological weapons, nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure, where police and the judicial system protect the criminals and persecute the innocent, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve, and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet, who suppress the natural solutions to all these problems already available, who are stealing and torturing our children under the guise of child protection, the ability to see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring the predators down, and of course we have to identify who the predators are. The critical step for everyone with a conscience, first step is to do your own research, as we have been lied to about everything. The study of language is very revealing. The word lie was put in the middle of the word belief, is when the psychopaths are able to lead the slave work units to believe a lie, it becomes their truth. I strongly recommend that you challenge all of your own beliefs until you know the truth. This is not easy, as I discovered when I had to face the fact that the medical profession I had so proudly joined was totally corrupted to do the opposite of the Hippocratic oath taken to first do no harm. I suggest if you haven't already done so, you go to either of my websites, drcarly.com or reversingvaccineinducediseases.com, download the diagrams, and watch the YouTube video of me explaining them. The first diagram is the cause of all disease. And the last diagram is the big picture of my Hippocrates protocol to reverse all disease. And it's quite an amazing experience to have figured out the cause of all disease and how to reverse all disease, and yet to be so strongly persecuted by the powers that be. But that's what forced me to open my own eyes as well. What we have to do is formulate a plan to save ourselves and then take action. Negotiation and compromise with evil is impossible. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support this work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. I use donations to purchase books and medical articles and such for my research. You can also help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them. To learn how I do consult, click on the services tab on my reversingvaccineinducediseases.com website. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. I also have a toll-free number, which works from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean, 888-321-6751. If you get a strange message that the number's been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1. But I use Skype primarily for my international clients and radio shows. So if you're in another area that I just mentioned where you can use the toll-free number, please call me instead, because my Skype contacts list is just too huge. Always remember, I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets, and of course, teach you how the medical devils are killing you. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. I now have 3 shows on different networks, so once you get on the Dr. Carly Archives page, if you stay on that main page, you'll find my Orion Talk Radio Archives, and then at the top of the page, you'll see a separate link for my These Changing Times Sunday shows, and now I'm on RBN also from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sundays, so you have to go to the other side of the page to click on those archives. So make sure you're looking in the right place. However, all shows are labeled, you know, with the answer to What's Ailing America or What's Ailing the World, basically same thing, so you'll know what I'm covering on each show. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 785-336-5190, or you can send a message in the chat room The board ops monitor the chat room, so if you don't want to call in, you can just send in your question or comment to the chat room, and they will send it to myself and the guests. Important callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. And we do ask that you wait until the second hour if you're going to call in, so I have an opportunity to introduce the topic of the week. As more and more biological agents are being unleashed on the public, now we have the West Nile virus, which they're using as their excuse to spray us with toxic pesticides. If I was you, I would be getting yourself a colloidal silver generator. There is no organism that's ever been found that is not taken out by colloidal silver with no side effects. So if you go to the reversingvaccineinducediseases.com site and click on the link section, you will find the silver generator that I recommend and use personally for myself and all my critters. And if you have bought into the disinfo regarding the dangers of colloidal silver, be sure to listen to the archive of my show with the Silver Lungs founder on May 5th, 2012, which is on the main page of the archives. On today's show, the answer to the question, what's ailing the world, is no plan to remove the Zionist psychopaths. With my most requested guest, J.B. Campbell. J.B. Campbell is, I always call him, you know, V. He's V, if you watch the movie V for Vendetta. And I'm not going to read his whole bio, which I've done many times. You can find his bio on J.B. Campbell Extremism Online. .com. But most importantly, he did start the modern day militia movement in 1989 with his book, The New American Man, A Call to Arms. It lasted until 1995 with the state sponsored destruction of the Oklahoma Federal Building. The State Department considers him a mercenary. The FBI considers him a problem. The Secret Service considers him a terrorist. And he couldn't care less. And of course, he's still here. He's still doing what he does, and I am sure that they are extremely afraid of him because, you see, once enough of us face reality as to everything that's happening, all the terrorism, all the death and destruction, all the financial scams and basically theft of everything we have is being done on purpose by the Zionists, then, of course, they're going to have a very big problem. So welcome to the show. And let me just first say, I almost forgot, that the views expressed on this show are the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers, and not of the Changing Times Radio Network. Okay, JV, take it away.
Oh, hello, Rebecca. Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, there's been some interesting things happened since the last time I was with you. I did start a new essay for the website, but I've got some more thinking to do about it, but I'd like to refer to part of it right now, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Like we were saying the other day, or I was saying, the Jews consider Gentile men to be what they call the fascistic element of society. The Jews are very afraid of this element and seek ways to control it. The best way is the military. When Gentile men are in the military, they can be used to kill the Jews' enemies and be kept under total mental and physical control by the military discipline they're under. Now, the word fascist has a certain meaning for us, such as government control of the means of production. For a Jew, fascist means a Gentile who resists the Jewish program, whether or not he recognizes it as Jewish. Fascist is a step up from Goy, or non-Jew. It's a step down from Nazi scum, such as this writer. Nazi scum resists the Jewish program because it is Jewish. Now, I use that word Nazi scum because some guy named John Friend got a threatening email from the Jewish Defense League the other day calling Nazi scum. Anyway, the remarkable story of Brandon Robb, illustrates this perfectly. Rob is an ex-Marine who had doubtless committed Jewish war crimes in his Afghan and Iraqi tours of duty. Despite having two businesses in East Virginia, he was considering re-enlisting in the Marine Corps. He had no idea what hit him, or really why it hit him, when the feds and local cops showed up and arrested him over provocative remarks he had made on Facebook concerning 9/11 and revolution against the government. I guess he also quoted lyrics from a protest song. I'm not that familiar with what he said, but I just know that he said something that alarmed them. The feds were the FBI and Secret Service. Of course, I consider the FBI, and I've been saying it for many years, to be America's number one terrorist organization. And that he wasn't being arrested after he was knocked down in his shorts and handcuffed and put in a patrol car and taken to a mental hospital. He wasn't arrested because no charges were filed against him. As with thousands of others, he just went away. It's known as a civil commitment. That's the new buzzword now. You're not under arrest. You're being civilly committed. And his attorney says that over 20,000 people in Virginia were picked up and taken to mental hospitals in just the past year. I'll bet you didn't know that. 20 people in Rob's county of Chesterfield had been sent to the insane asylum so far this month. The attorney says that most of these people aren't heard from again and are put on drugs paid for by the federal government. The only reason we knew about Rob was because his mother raised hell online, and it came to the attention of the civil rights law firm known as the Rutherford Institute. Rob was given a 15-minute mental exam and committed to psychiatric observation for 30 days. When his family and legal help became involved, Rob was sent to the VA psych ward in Salem, Virginia, which is about 3.5 hours away from family and lawyers. Fortunately for Rob, he got a lot of publicity thanks to his mother and his lawyers, who found an honest judge that ordered him released. But his lawyers say that most people in Rob's place just disappear. So, why go after a veteran in this vicious manner? The Jewish goal is universal military service so that the entire fascistic element of society can be exploited and controlled with the death penalty for any disobedience. However, when a soldier or Marine's parent and he becomes a veteran, he's no longer directly under the death penalty and is once again viewed as part of the fascistic element of society. Not only that, he's been trained in the use of weapons and given the green light to kill enemies of the Jews. Nowadays, the veteran almost certainly did kill people directly or indirectly during his tour of duty. The Jews realize that due to the internet mainly, there is a lot of awareness of Jewish crimes against humanity. The veterans, a lot of them, know that they were exploited in their youthful ignorance to kill people they shouldn't have killed. In Rob's case, he knows that the big excuse to volunteer and go kill strangers was based on the fantastic Jewish lies of 9/11. Maybe Rob hasn't put the Jewish element into his thinking, but in resisting the 9/11 legend, he put himself at the top of the fascist list. The fascist list is probably what we're told is the red list. People on the red list are to be arrested and re-educated to accept the government position, according to recently released army documents. The Nazi scum list is the black list, and no effort will be made to re-educate them. They will get a bullet in the back of the neck if they were dumb enough to be arrested. Our treacherous federal government has identified the veterans as the most dangerous group of political dissidents. I don't know if they are any more dangerous than a typical Pennsylvania deer hunter, but they could be more motivated to get even with the ones who totally messed up their lives. But how's that for gratitude? One day they're fighting for our freedom, and the next day they're terrorists. This is how Jews say thank you. Well, identifying mostly unaware and harmless veterans as the most dangerous of domestic enemies. Actual hard guys, such as I, are not even mentioned. This website that I write does not get condemned because the Jews did not even look at out of curiosity. So now we know things we didn't know yesterday. We know that many thousands of normal people are being arrested and committed illegally to mental institutions for unknown reasons. 20,000 people a year just in Virginia. So-called civil commitments require no due process. You're taken to the nut house, automatically drugged, and you may just disappear. We know that most of the victims of this form of rendition are veterans who are not up to speed on the Jewish problem. They are feared and hated by the Jews for the possibility that they may become aware. If we can't learn from Brandon Robb's experience, then we don't deserve to survive. The day of his unexpected release from the Salem, Virginia Veterans Administration psych ward, a couple of hours before the judge's order, a psychiatrist came into Robb's room and shut the door and sat down. Sardonically, he told Robb, "I'm going to brainwash you." Robb said, "You're what?" "I'm going to medicate you forcibly." We can only guess at the sorts of psychodrugs this vicious quack planned to use on Robb, and we can only guess at his name, which undoubtedly is something such as Goldberg or Rubenstein. Psychiatry is Jewish medicine. Psychiatry is behind every government program and every television program. Jewish psychiatrists and psychologists are employed to predict the effect of every program of the Washington-Hollywood axis. Jewish FBI doctors are reading this website and formulating counter at Oklahoma City. Robb was in the cuckoo's nest and minutes away from a chemical lobotomy and oblivion. This is the fate that awaits us if we fail to respond properly. So thank you, Brandon Robb. You have put us on notice that each of us must be armed and ready to shoot the first and every son of a bitch who comes to the door with an order for our civil commitment due to something we've written or said. This is the only possible option open to us. How many of the 20,000 people sent away just in Virginia just last year did you hear of? You heard of one, Brandon Robb, because his mother raised hell on Facebook and John Whitehead with the Rutherford Institute got involved. But Facebook was how he got arrested in the first place. Facebook is the enemy. Why anyone uses it, knowing it is part of the Jewish mind control machine owned by a creepy and contemptuous Jew who is backed by Mossad and CIA, is beyond me. Why anyone would divulge his or her thoughts and lifestyle on this Jewish intelligence operation is a mystery. Yet that's how Brandon Robb got busted and sent to a psychiatric prison for commenting on 9/11 and the government on Jewish Facebook. The FBI and Secret Service told Brandon Robb, when his hands were cuffed behind him and he was about to disappear, they were concerned for him due to the things he had said on Facebook. They said he wasn't under arrest, and they were concerned for him. Talk about Jewish scripting. Okay, guys, here's what you say so they won't struggle or try to shoot you. Tell them you're concerned and that they're not under arrest. That way they'll trust you and go quietly. Well, thanks, Brandon. Now we know that there's no alternative to shooting the bastards as soon as they show up. This is the only way to stop the police state that is arresting us, drugging us, and disappearing us daily. Anyone working for the police state must be killed, for he is at war with us, and in war, he must either kill or be killed. So that'll be on my website, plus probably the other half that I'll dream up here later today or tomorrow and figure out which way to go from here.
Okay, I would like to make a couple of comments. On National Public Radio last week, they actually interviewed a young man. He got an engineering degree. He was trying to find a job in the private sector. Both of his parents lost their jobs. They were, in danger of, having their home foreclosed on. So he decided to enter the military because it was a certain paycheck. And it was so amazing to listen to this man telling people, you know, it's great, you got all these benefits. He was making 50 grand a year. And basically encouraging young men and women, you know, that can't find a job to enter the military. And I found this so heinous because, of course, you know, they're led to believe that they're, quote unquote, serving their country when, in fact, they're serving their Zionist masters and are getting involved in these wars, you know, killing people that are enemies of the Jews. They have, you know, done nothing. And they're willing to do it for cash. It's totally disgusting. On this morning on booktv.org, which is on C-SPAN 2, there was a author, Brian Gassner, who wrote The Long Walk, A Story of War and the Life That Follows. And, you know, he's talking about his service to his country, blah, blah, blah. And two audience members actually stood up and asked him how soldiers were affected when it came out that there were no weapons of mass destruction. In other words, the whole war was a fraud. And his answer is, well, we just didn't think about it. We just killed who we were told to kill. And that just goes to show what you say all the time. You know, basically, the police and the military, these people are monsters. And they'll do whatever they have to do for cash. And I totally concur with you that they are our enemy because they're going to be willing to do whatever they're told to do in order to, you know, bring us into total slavedom as if we're not already well on the way to that at this point. The last thing I wanted to mention is that there's a new show starting on ABC on September 27th. It's called Last Resort. And in the sound clips for this show, which are airing constantly at this point, this military man says, we do not obey a government that tries to murder its own. So I found that very interesting that they're starting a show with that backdrop at this point. You know, I have no idea what it's going to be about, but it's basically going to be a story about a certain part of the military turning on their treasonous government. So I have no idea, you know, why they would do something like that. But I just found that interesting.
Well, it'll turn it around eventually, and the guys who started out so honorably will all of a sudden have feet of clay and do something nasty. And we'll be terribly disappointed, and our minds will be messed up again the way they are after every Hollywood production.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've got some agenda, but I just thought that was interesting that they're putting that out there. Also, I wanted to comment on an email that I got from you, and it's really amazing how many people are looking to the lawyers, you know, the land sharks, for a solution. And somebody was promoting this Larry Beecraft, and you had written an excellent response that he can't practice us out of the NDAA or the Patriot Act or Military Commissions Act or the military crackdown that's being readied. And, you know, basically people like us are called patriot nut jobs. And so you asked the question, what do we call a lawyer who thinks a decision from 1866 has some kind of power over total dictatorship that is rolling out before our eyes, and that a real lawyer would be encouraging junior officers to overthrow their corrupt and treacherous senior officers who have made deals with the CFR, reminding them of the oath of office regarding domestic enemies. And I just thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, he didn't respond to that, as I recall.
Yeah, no surprise there. Exactly. Okay, did you have anything else that you wanted to bring up?
Well, eventually I'd like to talk about Alex Jones. I was watching, I haven't been watching just like everybody else. I watch his videos occasionally, his daily things on that he does. And, you know, Alex Jones is a psyop. I finally come to the conclusion. I suppose a lot of others have reached this conclusion years ago. But
yes.
I learn slow, but I learn good. he is what is, can only be called as a psychological operation. Now, I'm not saying he's part of a government operation, but he himself, the way he operates, is a psychological operation designed to, number one, make him money, and number two, to forestall any direct action. He doesn't want to be associated with direct action. I saw him recently, or maybe it was yesterday, he did a interview with Stuart Rhodes, the Oath Keeper guy. And Rhodes, to his credit, said that we are approaching, if we're not already there, our Solzhenitsyn moment. And he recalled Solzhenitsyn's sad commentary that, you know, they should have resisted. They should have shot their way out. They should have, when the Jews took over Russia, they should have just killed them all. But they didn't. And of course, I credit Christianity with that failure to, stand up for themselves. They were prevented. They were made to hesitate, and turn the other cheek in the onslaught of this Jewish assault on them, which resulted in I don't know how many millions of Russian Christians being wiped out. And Stuart Rhodes said, you know, I think, yes, he said, yes, Alex, you know, we would like a peaceful solution to this problem, but it doesn't look at this point as if it's possible. We're approaching the Solzhenitsyn moment. And so we have to be prepared, in other words, to kill, to stop this Jewish machine. Now, of course, Stuart Rhodes is not into the Jewish thing. But Alex Jones revealed himself to me as a total fraud. He wants to do the InfoWars thing, as he calls it. He wants to propagandize his way out of this thing. Now, this keeps the money rolling in from his Jewish sponsors. Apparently, all of his advertisers are Jewish. His law firm is Jewish. His banking is Jewish. His wife is Jewish. I mean, everything about the guy is totally run by Jews. So it's no surprise, I guess, that he can't say Jew with his mouth full of it. Now, there has to be a division of labor, and I'm the first to admit it. There has to be the propaganda section of this struggle, and there has to be the action section. And they really shouldn't overlap. I'm kind of in both. I got a foot in each camp, which is not too smart. But somebody's got to do something here to get this ball rolling. But Alex Jones, you know, he's in the propaganda arm of the struggle, and I admit that he, you know, he's got a photographic memory. He's obviously a highly intelligent guy. But when it comes to the action thing, he actually belittles the potential action arm of this struggle. And I think even Stuart Rhodes was taken aback by Alex Jones's cowardice in this interview. He had to point out that we are, you know, there may not be a peaceful solution. Of course, I've been telling everybody for years that there is no peaceful solution, and these people have to be killed. Now, I'm talking about two different types of things. You know, this Dadja thing I want, this defense against Jewish aggression, it means that the Jewish element of our downfall has to be wiped out. And that refers to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Anti-Defamation League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Justice Department, obviously, the FBI is totally run by Jews. Right. This has to be resisted. But we also have to deal with the knock on the door, like Brandon Robb. And we have to be ready today, this afternoon, whenever, to shoot anybody that comes to our door with papers saying we're going to take you away for evaluation. That's the death penalty for anybody that shows up. So there's two different things. We've got to be offensive against the Jewish machine, but we have to be extremely defensive against the police that are going to be sent against us.
Well, the other thing I would like to mention about Alex Jones, which I figured out years ago, is that he's a tremendous fear monger. And, of course, fear is one of the main things that these psychopaths use against the people. He never gives any solutions. He does tell the truth about a lot of things that are going on. But what happens is people, you know, they get scared and they cower and they're hiding under their beds, you know, believing that if they keep their mouth shut and they go along with a program, they won't have a problem. And so that's what I look upon him as one of his major functions, is to scare the hell out of people, and he's doing a very good job about it. One thing I just wanted to mention about Stuart Rhodes and Oath Keepers, and I don't know if this is true, but I had heard that he's part of the problem as well. And what he's actually doing is getting a list of people who were going to follow their oath to protect us from terrorists within, so that those people could be neutralized at some point. So I just want to mention that. I can't verify that, but that is something I had heard.
Well, he did go to Yale, apparently. That's always a, you know, danger sign. Yale law, I guess. But, you know, anybody who talks about fighting at this point, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I agree with you about Jones. He actually demoralizes his listeners with his truly expert listing of the crimes of government against us. He has, as you say, no solution other than getting savage with your InfoWars blogging. Oh, come on.
Right.
No, that's not the, it's not the answer. I mean, you can't blog your way out of an arrest when the FBI, Secret Service, and local cops come to your door with papers for your civil commitment. It's time then to kill them all. And we'll see how successful this program is when these guys start dropping like flies.
Okay, we have a listener asking a question. Isn't Alex Jones's patriotism good for the American listener? And if he is a psyop, isn't it good to know how his guests are related, i.e. traitorous? I don't know where this person is getting the, you know, feeling that he's a patriot. He's actually the exact opposite. In fact, as I always tell people, he's a multimillionaire. People that are actually working against the people destroying the world, they don't become multimillionaires, okay? So that's an obvious red flag right there. But I'm not really sure what the listener's asking about. If he's a psyop, isn't it good to know how his guests are related?
No, I don't get that.
Yeah, he does have some people on to give him credibility. I think it was in 2010. He actually had me on 3 times. And then I was supposed to be on with the Austrian journalist Jane Burgermeister, who uncovered the Baxter bird flu attempt to spread bird flu throughout many countries in Europe. And at the last minute, the show was canceled and never heard from him again. So he does have some real people on. That's how these people get credibility. But he's obviously controlled, and somebody told him no more of Dr. Carly. You know, because basically vaccinations and other biological weapons are one of the main reasons they're killing us off and controlling us. So couldn't let too much of that information out. But, yeah, he's definitely working for the other side. That is so obvious. And actually, many of his listeners have called in and asked him, why aren't you talking about the Jews and the Zionist agenda and things of that nature? And he gets very irate when that question is asked him.
Yeah, well, somebody listed all his advertisers and identified them as all Jews, essentially. Plus right. his banking and his legal firm is all Rothschild stuff.
Exactly. And I wanted to bring up, there was an amazing article in my local paper here, CharlotteObserver.com, on August 18th, 2012, on page 8A, but this went all over, about the Iranian president saying that Israel is an insult to humankind, and basically stating that the very existence of the Zionist regime is an insult to humankind and an affront to all world nations, and that confronting Zionists will also pave the way for saving the whole of humankind from exploitation, depravity, and misery. And, you know, when I read this, I was like, wow, we have one world leader telling the truth. And, of course, what's happening now, Israel is, you know, saying that they're getting ready to attack Iran because they allegedly are getting ready to make some nuclear weapons, which is a joke. I mean, how many nuclear weapons does Israel have? And why can't Iran protect themselves? Although the whole idea of nuclear weapons in the first place is a psychopathic agenda because obviously they have the capability of destroying the planet. But, you know, it's just amazing how, you know, our, you know, minions that have already taken an oath to go along with whatever Israel wants are basically saying, oh, yes, we have to protect Israel's right to protect themselves and all of this other crap. And if you look at a map of the Mideast, in fact, all of the countries that surround Israel, Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, the only country that has not been attacked or being spoken of being attacked that's near Israel is Saudi Arabia. So it's very obvious the agenda that's happening, and that's why it sickens me how many young men and women from this country are going into the service buying this lie that they're serving their country when they're actually serving the Zionist agenda and killing innocents. I mean, you know, they always say that the people in the Mideast, they hate our way of life. Well, I'm sure they do hate our way of life, which is killing innocent people. No surprise there. So it's really important for the people doing this to wake up and smell the coffee because, you know, it's so evil what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that I hate our way of life. I'm not, at this point, in any way, shape, or form, a patriot. What is there about America to love? I think we need to take stock of ourselves and become brutally honest about ourselves. Should we love our schools? Should we love our government institutions? Should we love our labor unions? Should we love the way food is grown? What is there to love about America? The country, you know, the land, well, yeah, I guess. But everything this country stands for is evil. There is nothing I can point to in pride. We had a revolution, supposedly, against the English king. Well, that was pretty flawed in itself. That was our claim to fame, this revolution. But unfortunately, it was run by Freemasons, with a few exceptions, such as Patrick Henry. Probably the only real famous guy who was not a sellout. But the rest of them were all Freemasons, including George Washington and Hamilton and all these other characters. They replaced English tyranny with something far worse, American tyranny. I mean, that's the nature of revolutions and something we have to guard against in our revolution now. I mean, we're gonna overthrow this evil empire in Washington and New York and Los Angeles We're going to overthrow it by force and violence. The very thing that our revolutionary government forbids. That's how we became a country. We overthrew the English government. It was not Americans doing it. It was Englishmen doing it, overthrowing the English government by force and violence. That's what is called for, and that's how it works. But once that happens, then the new guys say, well, you must never discuss force and violence again. Really? I think we must. I mean, I think it must be a constant thing, a chronic, ongoing process, because every generation raises its own tyrants and its own freedom fighters. We got to keep doing it. That's the way of life. Otherwise, you die under somebody's boot heel.
Exactly. There is no other option. I mean, basically, it's becoming so obvious. That's why I get totally disgusted with people that are just, you know, putting their heads in the sand, or especially, as you mentioned, religious Christians, you know, turning the other cheek, and you know, I live in the Bible Belt here in North Carolina. You can't find a Christian church without the word Zion on it, and basically, you know, they're hoodwinked into believing that, you know, Israel has the chosen people, and you know, Israel's you know, remaining in existence is what's necessary for the Bible prophecies to come to light and all come true. Of course, that whole Revelations thing, you know, that's some pretty scary stuff. And the way I look at it is that that must have been written by a Jew, because basically they're trying to get people to believe that, yes, this is what God wants. He wants horrific tragedies and blights and everything you can imagine to occur. That's what he wants. And so as all these things are occurring, and of course, it's not God causing them, it's all the Zionist psychopathic scientists with their heart machine and their chemtrails, and there's so many things that are happening. As a matter of fact, I find it very interesting that now, as they're getting ready to have their full conventions in Tampa and Charlotte, we have these hurricanes heading this way. As a matter of fact, they're saying that Hurricane Isaac is supposed to basically hit Florida as of the end of today. So I can't be sure. It's kind of interesting, because that must be being done with the heart machine and other technologies. Like, what's up with that? Why would they cause that to happen right when they're having their conventions? I have no clue. But, you know, when people start to investigate and find out that all these things are being done on purpose, and that disaster capitalism is one of the main things that the Jews engage in, you know, cause a disaster and then make lots of money on, you know, quote unquote, repairing the damage, of course, obliterating, you know, thousands the millions of people in the meantime to further depopulate the planet, that people don't just get it. You know, it's just disgusting to me. And of course, one of the amazing things that I found on C-SPAN, it was aired on July 30th. People can find it by going to cspan.org and type in International Religious Freedoms, where the witch Secretary of State Hillary Clinton gave a speech. And she actually said that governments use religion to light a match where they want to stoke a fire for their own purposes, and also stated that religion is a national security issue. Isn't that interesting?
I guess certain religions are national security issues. Judaism is not a national security issue. It's just Islam, apparently, and maybe some forms of Christianity.
Right. Well, Christianity, because basically, as she's admitting, they're using this to protect the bad guys, basically. You know, they want religion to continue to divide and conquer the people and use it for their own purposes. You know, those bad, bad Muslims. We have to get rid of them all. It's so obvious to anybody with eyes to see. But, of course, you know, religion is one of the main things that people, they just can't objectively, you know, evaluate what they've been told.
Yeah, the Christian is mesmerized by the Jew. And I don't know how this works exactly. I've never been a religious guy. I had to go to Sunday school as a little kid until my friend John Carpenter and I were sitting in the front row. We were watching a movie about the crucifixion. We were yakking away until the nails started going in this guy's hands and feet. We went, holy crap, look at that. And that's the last time I ever went to Sunday. I don't need this type of defeatist propaganda. I just could not believe the weakness that was being portrayed, this passive weakness, surrender mentality. Just horrified me. And that's the evil of Christianity, is weakness and surrender. There's no program for victory in the Bible over the Jews. You know, you got Jesus complaining about the Jews and saying they're the sons of the devil, the truth is not in them. But so what? He surrendered to them, or to the Romans, the same thing. I mean, you know, the Jews ordered him executed by the Romans. What the hell is that? What kind of a role model is that for anybody to survive in this cold, cruel world? It's the opposite of what we need.
Exactly. And another article I want to mention, which I found totally hilarious, was in my local Charlotte Observer on Saturday, August 18th, on page 2E. And the title is, Rabbis Aim to Inject More Morality into Business. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. A group of rabbis has designed a course to use age-old Jewish teachings to help infuse morality into economics, which, of course, they're the ones responsible for, you know, bankrupting all nations and things of that nature. And it's run by the Rohr Jewish Learning Institute, which is affiliated with the Chabad Lubavitch movement of Orthodox Jewry. And that group is also the one that advises Putin. Of course, that's not in the paper. And they say, when students first come to the course, they may respect the Torah and the Talmud. But few see it is something relevant to the here and now. And of course, if anybody actually checks out what it says in the Talmud, how it's okay to have sex with children as long as they're under 9 years old and things of that nature. If you don't know about this, you might want to research tidbits from the Talmud. That's a site done by Sherry Schreiner, and it mentions some of these very important things. But it further mentions in the article that lawyers can get continuing legal education credit for this course in 22 states. And they go on to say that Judaism has no problem with affluence or the fact that not everyone is going to have the same amount of money, but they do say that Judaism does not always demand that an employer pay a living wage. So all of this crap.
That's the truth.
Yeah, exactly. But just the idea that rabbis would have a course to bring morality to business when in fact they are the ones bringing all immorality and perversion, especially through Hollywood and pornography and things of that nature, they're behind all of it. And it's just so disgusting that more people would still view them as the chosen people. I mean, who chose them? Obviously, they chose themselves. And this is the same crap that they're feeding everybody to get them to support them, no matter what atrocities they're engaged in.
Yes, so it's my mission, really part of my mission, to liberate Americans from this Christian handicap, this defeatist, futile worldview. I mean, they can't obviously deal with Jews, but they can't deal with anything. They're not allowed to defend themselves. You know, maybe I already told you about my experience over in Africa with the missionaries, the American missionaries. I probably did in a previous show. I was in this anti-terrorist unit of the police, and my boss said, hey, Campbell, you're an American. There's an American mission in Chesa Tribal Trust Land where I want you to go visit them. I said, really? Yeah. He said, their hospital has been helping the terrorists, and, you know, we can't have that. You gotta tell them that. You gotta stop doing that. Oh man, I said, I can't talk to those people. He said, well, that's your orders. Your orders are to go talk to those people. Okay. So I eventually got back to Mount Darwin, and I got a South African buddy to go with me and my African men, they call them Askari, or like soldiers. So we made our way to this American mission in the African bush. And it was a pretty impressive establishment. African gals came out and brought tea to my men. They probably never had tea in their lives. They sat there drinking tea in the back of this pickup. Willem van der Merwe and I were invited to go inside. The lady, the American gal, missionary's wife, greeted us kind of dubiously, skeptically, because, you know, I had my uniform on. I had a rifle with me, and she didn't like that. What can I do for you? She said, oh, well, I said, is the missionary here? No, he's not here. Oh. Well, you know, as you can tell, I'm an American, too, and I've been ordered by my boss to come talk to you about helping the terrorists. She said, well, we don't consider them, you know, terrorists. Okay, well, nevertheless, we do, and you really have to stop doing this. Otherwise, you know, the government's going to get to take measures. She just looked at me because she knew that was a crock. The government was going to do anything to them. The missionaries had license. They had carte blanche. Do whatever they wanted. Now, in Africa, throughout the whole continent of Africa, the African children are educated through the mission system, through the various missions, from whatever country, Italy, Spain, England. I have missions throughout these countries, and they have mission schools, and they teach the African children. They take them to the sixth grade. They teach them their own language, and they teach them English. And that's it. And they're cut loose. So, you know, with the expectation that they're going to be employable. But there's no, in black Africa, there's no work. In the white countries of South Africa and Rhodesia, when I was there, there was work. But there wasn't enough work for all these Africans who had the sixth grade education. So a great deal of discontent was created by the mission system. Anyway, so this gal said, well, we have to treat everybody equally. You know, if somebody comes in here wounded, we have to treat him. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, like I said, we've killed or captured terrorists with their hospital bracelets on their wrists. Well, again, we have no choice but to help them. We'd have to help you. I said, okay. Okay. Well. The problem you're going to face is that these guys are going to kill you. She said, no, they won't. They love us. I said, now, ma'am, you must know at this point that there is no word love in any African dialect south of the Sahara Desert. It doesn't exist. There's no such word as love. They don't have that word. They don't love you. It's an alien concept. They have learned. Okay. Maybe so. But here's the problem. If they're ordered to kill you, and they don't kill you because they love you, and someone who doesn't love you is going to kill them and then come and kill you. That's what we're worried about. We don't want you to get killed. Oh, she said, that's not going to happen. Okay. All right. I said, I've done what I've been ordered to do. I'll leave you alone. We took off. And within a month or so, they were attacked and killed by people who obviously didn't love them. But I got a great deal of insight into the problems in this country through my experience over there. And, I learned to realize that African Americans are doing pretty much the best that they can. They come from a culture that does not have any work involved in it. The African male adult does no work over in Africa. The woman does all the work. She does whatever has to be done, it's done by her. He sits in the sun all day and drinks beer. So when you see this background, it becomes clear what the problem here is with them. It's just their way, and some of them rise above it, but most of them don't. And that's our situation. The Jew has exploited this racial situation. The Jew brought most of the slaves to this country, as we know now. The Rhode Island Jews brought the slaves from Africa after the white slavery deal didn't work out because, the white slaves could escape and blend in with the general population. So that was not a good thing. So they decided to bring black slaves in here. And in those days, you could not have a cotton industry without slavery. The Yankees knew it, and they didn't care. They wanted the cotton. They didn't care how they got it. And that's what this country was built on. It was built on extermination of the native population, slavery, and war, expansionism. Today, it's no different today. It's extermination of Muslims, drugs, and war.
And child trafficking.
Reserve banking. Pardon?
And child trafficking, yes.
Yeah.
Actually,
all run by the Jews.
One of the most discouraging and amazing things to me in regards to African Americans is that, they were used not only for the things that you mentioned, but also experimentation, the most known study being the Tuskegee syphilis study, which, of course, they brought a black nurse in to convince these men that had been infected with syphilis that they were getting great treatment, et cetera, when actually they were being allowed to have the syphilis spread throughout their bodies. Almost all of them eventually died during this massive experiment. And so they know what the government is capable of. And so what did these Jews do? I mean, you can just see how this whole Obama thing came about, is that they figured if they had a guy, a puppet put into the presidential position by themselves, just because he has darker skin than any other previous presidents, that people of color would stand behind this man no matter what atrocities, he brought forward, the NDAA being one of the most recent. And in fact, that's what's going on. I try to listen to C-SPAN most mornings, this Washington Journal call-in show, and it's just amazing how many people of color call in and they back in this guy, and anybody that criticizes anything he says, they attribute it to racism. So anybody like us who would say anything about all these different things he's done to make matters much, much worse, basically we're complaining because we're racist. And this has been a very powerful agenda for these monsters.
Yeah, whites, and especially Christian whites can't criticize Obama for the very reason you say, because it would be racist. The African Americans, you know, we essentially have one tribe here of them. Over in Africa, it's totally different. And a guy to study their roots and learn about their backgrounds. And they were so frightened when they got off the plane because they were viewed as outsiders and like subject to be killed by these people over there. They just got back on a plane, both of them, as fast as they could, and got the hell out of there. And I have to say something about slavery and the Africans. And to me, bringing the Africans to this continent was a crime, a terrible crime. The conditions of transportation on the Jewish slave ships were, you know, beyond description, horrendous. However, if an African survived the nightmare trip, didn't get fed to the sharks on the way over by these greedy slavers, I would have to say that life in this on this continent was 1,000% better than what they'd come from. No matter how racist whites here are and were, there's no comparison. The way they were allowed to live here compared with life. Until the slavery thing started, if you got captured or defeated by a rival tribe, you were eaten or made a slave, but generally you were eaten. And it's happening even today. There's cannibalism going on over there. And a lot of slavery going on over there. The white liberal media won't tell us. The Jewish media can't say this. But it's coming out how much slavery and cannibalism there is in Africa now. And that'll never change. That's just the way that they have. But I'd have to say, honestly, that slavery in this country was probably the best thing that ever happened to an African who was fortunate enough to survive the horrendous journey across the Atlantic. Because at least he didn't get eaten when he got here.
Exactly. But they did separate families, and they did all kinds of heinous things. But,
oh,
you know,
terrible.
But the heinous things have been going on for generations, and as you said, you know, the Jews are behind it. And let me also say that the Luciferians that, you know, are the high-level Freemasons and the different psychopaths at the high levels, you know, they're also cannibals, and they also, you know, especially sacrifice and eat children and things of that nature. So perhaps that's one reason they can't talk about it, because, you know, they're involved in it as well. But another thing I wanted to mention is this whole New Age thing that's coming through now. There's so many websites and different minions that I'm sure the Jews are behind this as well, that are promoting this, you know, peace, love, and all that thing. Basically, I just got a card in the mail. Somebody wants me to buy a book, The Heart Mind Matrix, How the Heart Can Teach the Mind New Ways to Think. And it says here, by activating the compassionate intelligence of the heart, we can alter the destructive behavior loops of the survival-oriented reptilian brain and enter in a future of peace and conscious evolution. What a crock of bull. Okay, when you're being attacked by psychopaths in every way you can imagine, you have to go on the defense. They're trying to make it that, you know, basically survival orientation is destructive. And that's one of the main problems that we have, is that men's natural, you know, ability, and, you know, it's their job down through, you know, eons in history, is to be the protectors and to protect protect their families and to do whatever they have to do to protect their families. That has been totally erased. Men have been feminized through pesticides and other estrogen mimicker hormones that are feminizing them. They're basically being distracted. You know, to watch the game and all the rest of it. And I've done a lot of shows on circumcision as well and how this actually puts trauma at the cellular level that actually prevents males from truly bonding with females and actually leads to them hating their mothers because their mothers allowed these atrocities to go on. So, in fact, we have, you know, books like this trying to make us think all we have to do is love one another. And David Icke is another one. He had some information on his site some time ago, and I started talking about it, and I think it's gone now. But he wanted people to, all over the earth, to say the same meditation / prayer every day at the same time, you know, to increase the love vibration, and that this was somehow going to bring peace. No, as long as you've got predators controlling everything, you know, you can't love a predator, a psychopath, a parasite. You cannot love them because they are incapable, just like you said, you know, in the lower African countries, there's no word for love. Well, you know, the psychopaths will use the word love, but they use that as a way to get people to not go after the cause of all their problems. And this is another thing that people have to realize, aggression against the monsters that are destroying your life. That is a natural and very important trait that we must all have, and that's why I love your idea of the Defense Against Jewish Aggression Group. These people are monsters. They're destroying our world, our planet, our health, our food, our financial systems. They're destroying everything. And are we supposed to do nothing but send them love? To me, that is so insane, it defies comprehension.
Yeah, that word love always was a code word for indiscriminate behavior and lack of discrimination. And I don't mean racial discrimination necessarily. I just mean trying to get us to be indiscriminate so that we can't tell right from wrong or quality from inferior or whatever. Just love, unquestioning acceptance of Jewish propaganda is all it is.
Exactly. And one thing I wanted to mention that I just got such a kick out of, there's a website, hold on a second, homeopathyworldcommunity.com. And this is a website that's supposed to promote homeopathy throughout the world. And it's run by a Jew. And I was recently sent an email of a recent post that's on that website, and it shows how desperate these Zionist Jews are becoming because, you know, no matter what they try to say, that people like us are anti-Semitic and haters and things of that nature, there are so many people talking about these monsters on the internet and the hollow hoax and all the rest of it. You know, no matter how they try to clamp down, it's not working. But there's an article on this website. Samuel Hahnemann, founder of homeopathy, was a Muslim, and I just thought this was hilarious because homeopathy is one of the most amazing ways to heal, and of course they've done everything they can. Big Pharma, controlled by Jews, of course, calls it quackery. No matter what they do, more and more people are turning to homeopathy all the time. So this is their latest scam. Posted on a site that's supposed to be promoting homeopathy, claiming that the founder of homeopathy was a Muslim, so that people will say, wait a minute, this must be bad because it was founded by a Muslim. And to me, this was a very good sign because this just goes to show how desperate they are.
Yeah, I think the Muslims are... by and large, I mean, the extremist Muslims obviously are just as cuckoo as anybody else, but in general, Muslims have been the most peaceful people traditionally. So I really have nothing against them. I don't like the way they treat women. I think that's entirely wrong. But when it comes to politics, they're not aggressive whatsoever. They're having to defend themselves from Jewish turn to do ourselves.
Well, their main crimes, I'm sure, according to the Jews, are that they're against usury. And, of course, in order for the Jewish banksters to take over all world economies and bankrupt them all so that they become slaves to the Jews, they have to bring their banks into every country. And in my opinion, that's one of the main reasons they're trying to make Muslims the boogeyman, is because they want them all to be overtaken, just as it's happening now in the Mideast, and then first thing they do is come in and bring in, you know, a central bank.
I'm glad you brought that up, because to me, the main issue in our lives, and the thing we must do, you know, it's one thing to be against the Jews, and we're ready to kill cops and feds, and the Council on Foreign Relations, that's all important and necessary, but what do we do after we win? How do we prevent this from happening again? And to me, the issue is debt-free currency. This is the whole thing in this world. You know, these rotten bankers in Europe are demanding Greece undergo austerity, and Portugal and Ireland, and the Icelanders said, you go under austerity. You go to prison. But everybody else is saying, well, I guess we have to have austerity. Okay, why do we have to have austerity? Because the bankers want to live well, and they want us to have nothing so that they can continue to live well on interest. This is the biggest scam of all, is currency issued by private bankers in the name of the government. This is the most amazing, unbelievable scam. This is the whole essence of our lives. And it was started in this country by those wonderful Federalists, Alexander Hamilton and George Washington. This is the issue now. Here's what we should stand for, is debt-free currency. That's what Hitler did to save Germany. That's why we have to have the Holocaust jammed on our throats, to associate debt-free currency with mass murder. There was no mass murder. There was no Holocaust. As Brother Nathaniel even points out, as a young Jew, they never talked about the Holocaust. They may have acknowledged a few thousand people died in work camps after the American starvation program hit them. But the Holocaust was invented in the 60s by the racketeers, because the whole thing that Germany did, which was so fantastic, was during the Great Depression and the Versailles Treaty. I mean, Germany got hit with two things. We had the Great Depression, but Germany had that and the reparations payments that had bankrupted them and led to the hyperinflation. Hour in 33, the same month, the same year as Franklin Roosevelt. The country is prostrate in starvation. What the hell do I do? So he looks to the American thing called greenbacks that Lincoln did. Now, Lincoln was a son of a bitch, and he should have been shot. He deserved to be shot long before he got shot for what he did to the southern states and to the northern states. He was a monster. But to run his rotten war of annihilation against the South, he went to the Jewish bankers for loans, for war loans, and they said, yeah, you can have the money, but it'll cost you like 34% interest. Oh, well, he said, I can't afford that. So he created greenbacks, debt-free currency, and he ran his war on them. And they even survived after the war, and the bankers didn't get a dime, which was totally unacceptable to them. So Hitler said, well, you know, he did that. Why can't we do that? And that's what saved Germany, was within a year and a half of total starvation, the German workers were taking paid cruises, cruise vacations, getting all kinds of loans and able to live well after years under the Versailles dictate, called the Versailles Treaty, which was American bankers and British bankers extracting every single thing of value out of Germany following World War I. They had no gold, they had no nothing. They had nothing. But with the debt-free currency they issued, they became prosperous virtually overnight. America never did. We wallowed in the Great Depression with millions starving to death, we know now. Roosevelt wouldn't let us out of this horrible, horrible. I mean, I don't even know if we can even imagine how bad it was here during the Great Depression. It was so bad that we agreed to go into World War II immediately, as soon as the Japanese were tricked into bombing us in Pearl Harbor. America gladly went to war just to get out of the stinking depression. But Americans must never know how easy it is to cure our problems with debt-free currency. And so the only guy who really did it, Adolf Hitler, he's presented as the ultimate monster, because the idea is, oh, you want debt-free currency. Well, I suppose you want to gas us all too when you're done with that. That's how we're controlled and kept from doing this. Now, as we know, Jack Kennedy issued over $4 billion in debt-free currency in his last year on this earth. In April of 63, he issued United States notes, which were essentially like greenbacks, debt-free currency issued by the Congress, or at least by the executive. I mean, I think he had it just done by the Treasury Department. Congress. I haven't done a research on that. But within a few months, he was dead. Now, some people say, oh, well, that wasn't the reason. Well, of course not. I mean, what was the reason? The Vietnam War? I mean, demanding truth out of the Israelis? I mean, he made everybody angry with him. He had so many enemies, you can't even count them. So he's going to get killed, and his brother too. But the most significant thing he did, in my mind, was to issue debt-free currency. And that's what we have to have. That's how we're going to turn this thing around eventually, is kill the bankers, hang the bankers, shoot the bankers, destroy them. All bankers. I mean, it's not just the international bankers in New York and Goldman Sachs. The guy down the corner making home loans is just as vicious and corrupt as the guy on Wall Street. He's lending you credit. But you have to pay it back in cash, more than you borrowed. How does that work?
Exactly.
Like I say, if everybody has to repay more than he borrowed, where does the extra come from? That's what nobody seems to ask. It is so fundamental. Well, you got to inflate the money supply to create the issue is these private scum, these Jews from Europe and America and Israel, they are in charge of our currency. We have to pay them to issue us our own currency. We have to pay them interest. If people understood this, as Henry Ford said, there'd be a revolution overnight. When you tell them, they think, well, that can't be true. You must be mistaken. No, it is true. That's the Federal Reserve. That's the fractional reserve banking. We have to pay these scum money for our own currency.
Exactly. So, and a few years ago, I came up with the idea I was going to write a book, Money Doesn't Grow on Trees, until I realized that money does grow on trees, and then I got an idea to write a book that money does grow on trees, In other words, basically, you know, you make the trees into paper and then you just print money. And as you said, the whole idea that the Federal Reserve prints money out of thin air and then charges us interest on the money, not to mention the fact that, of course, the inflation that occurs because they're devaluing the money as they do that. If you wrap your head around that, it is so atrocious and ridiculous that, like you said, would cause a change overnight. And this is where, you know, I view Ron Paul as such a minion because, you know, there's a lot of people that are waking up to this idea that the Federal Reserve is private, run by the banksters, etc. And so what is his solution? Audit the Federal Reserve. No, what we should be doing is basically eliminating the Federal Reserve, telling these banksters, this debt does not exist. We don't owe you a dime. You printed this money and charged interest on it, and that is a scam. And basically, all countries should be doing that, and that would eliminate all debt, and everything would go back to the way it's supposed to be. And then, as you said, have a currency created by governments, which is not based on, you know, this whole interest scam that they have going.
It must be illegal for governments to borrow money. There is no excuse for it. There's no way, I mean, why would a government have to borrow money? The government must create the money
exactly
in the proper ratio, just as Germany did. I mean, you got to look at the German miracle, the German economic miracle. And that's what they don't want us to do because it is so blatant. It is so obviously wonderful. Now, I mean, here, look. We got stuck with this rotten system from the get-go. This son of a bitch, Alexander Hamilton, his name was actually, his father's name, you know, if you look where Alexander Hamilton was born, down in Nevis, down there they realized Alexander Hamilton, his father's name was Levy. And he was a Rothschild guy. He was George Washington's chief of staff, or, you know, his aide-de-camp during the Revolution. And Washington trusted him, but he was working for the Rothschilds. By the Rothschilds. It's also a private scam, just like the Federal Reserve, owned by the same people. And in the early days, you know, this country ran on the Articles of Confederation from the revolutionary days of 1775 or 1776, right through 1789. The Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union. There was no central government. There was no federal government. They met in Washington in the Congress, and they discussed certain common problems. But there was no way to tax us. Now, the Jews and the others who had loaned money during the Revolution wanted to get paid back. And Hamilton desperately wanted to pay them because those were the guys he was working for. So, first of all, you have to have, you can't do this under the Articles of Confederation. You had to have a central government. Well, how do you get that? Well, you could have a convention, you could have a constitutional convention in Philadelphia, and you could say you're going to modify the articles, and then once the convention starts, you could just throw them out and start over again and come up with a constitution. And that gave us the Supreme Court, and it gave us the Senate and the House of Representatives. Up until then, we didn't have those things. For 8 years, we were under the Articles of Confederation. And everybody was pretty darn happy except the bankers. They were very unhappy because they wanted to make money on this deal. You can't make money under the Articles of Confederation. So Alexander Hamilton came up with the first bank of the United States, a private profit-making corporation. And somehow he got George Washington to go along with it. And we got saddled with a 20-year charter with the first bank of the United States. Okay, so that charter ran out, and in 1811, it was going to be renewed. But people became uneasy with it. So much so that the British finally decided to go to war with us again, with the War of 1812. Well, we didn't get saddled with the second U.S. bank until about 1819. And that had a 20-year charter. But luckily, Andrew Jackson became president, and he swore to kill that monster any way he could. And he did it by removing all assets them to others. And that was it. There was no more private central bank until 1913, when they did it again to us. But you can't have a central bank without a central government to enforce it. And that's why we got saddled with this Constitution. And I keep saying, anybody that supports the Constitution, like Ron Paul, hasn't read it. Because all it is a seven-part program for running a central government. It is not our friend. It has led to all our horrible problems. And it must be overthrown. We must no longer be under this horrible thing called the Constitution. That showed me that Ron Paul was a total fraud, pushing the Constitution. Well, what the hell has that done for us? What has it protected us from? War? Fractional reserve banking? Public education? I mean, what has it done for us? Now, the Bill of Rights, you know, you got the Bill of Rights, you got the 10 amendments to the Constitution. You got the first 7 articles, and then you got the 10 amendments. Okay. Those were put in there to protect us from the Constitution. That's how dangerous the Constitution is, that we had to have a protection. We didn't have to have that under the Articles of Confederation, but we had to have it under the Constitution, because it was a central government. Anyway, excuse me, what were you going to say?
Well, I just want to say what the Constitution has done is give people the illusion that their rights are protected. And actually, I learned this myself when I went to court trying to save my only son. I filed a federal lawsuit against the judge who had given his custody to his abuser, and just, you know, such corruption and fraud. And the Attorney General for New York State at the time, Elliot Spitzer, who became governor, who then is most known for being client 9, actually at taxpayers' expense, submitted a document to dismiss my lawsuit because judges are immune even if corrupt, malicious, or incompetent. And since that time, I have, you know, studied the Constitution and different decisions that have come down. Occasionally people do win a case based on their constitutional rights, but that's just a false flag to make people think it's actually a good thing. In fact, there are many decisions that have come down at state and federal levels that if you're not a party to the Constitution, it does not cover you. So that's another thing that people don't realize, is that if you're not, you know, bloodline of the framers of the Constitution, it has nothing to do with you to begin with. So any of that language that appears to protect you is actually a fraud. And the Bill of Rights mean nothing. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, I would put the legal land sharks in the same boat as the banksters. They're what has to be annihilated. And in fact, that's what people have to wake up to, is that, you know, they've been hoodwinked about all these things. And let me just say, we have a couple questions that have come in. Somebody asked the question, isn't Alex Jones like Alan Watts as being part of the predictive programming operation, as far as being agents, as they deny anything to do with the truth of 9/11 and Dr. Judy Wood. Well, that's obvious. Antoinette asked a question. Please ask you to explain the statement regarding Africans were better off because of slavery. That's not what I got from what you said. You said that basically when they came here, they had better conditions than when they were back in Africa because of the culture that happens there. But you did not in any way say that it was right that they were brought here by these slave masters, and that they ended up better off, per se.
Yeah, I say that slavery is the worst concept for Africans or for whites or anybody else, Chinese. I mean, it is the most terrible thing. I'd like to go into that a little bit more regarding, say, Chinese slaves. I mean, I'd like to point out that World War II in the Pacific was conducted by Roosevelt and Truman with the goal of sending American jobs to communist China. I mean, it's, you know, I know most people don't think in these long-term strategies, but it is obvious to me now that the goal of the Council on Foreign Relations in setting up war in the Pacific, I mean, the whole purpose of the war against Hitler through the back door, because Hitler wouldn't respond to all of Roosevelt's provocations in the Atlantic. It was impossible to get him to declare war against America until Pearl Harbor was bombed. But that aside, the whole purpose of the war, of our war in the Pacific, was to put Mao Zedong in power in China, the communist, and Ho Chi Minh in Indochina, which, you know, nobody heard of him during that period, but he became infamous later. Mao Zedong and Ho Chi Minh and other communists, such as the guy in Korea, they were put in power by the Americans during and after World War II. And what we got in China was the wiping out of the middle class by the communists. They exterminated, I don't know, they say 64 million Chinese potential middle class people. And then the rest of them were turned into robots through Mao Zedong's little red book and the Cultural Revolution, and they were turned into slaves. And when they were thoroughly conditioned as slaves, then the American industry, starting with my company when I was with ARCO, my company was the first one to go over there in 79 illegally and discuss business with the communists. And I learned this when I was with ARCO from the chief counsel. The chief counsel told me of his trip over there. He came back with his little Mao Zedong cap with a red star on it. He was very proud of his exploits in China. But this was to communize China, turn it into a slave industrial enterprise, and then send all of American jobs to China so slaves could do the work and Americans would have nothing. And that's where we are today. I mean, it's obvious where we are today, but I'm just here to point out that this was the plan of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Institute of Pacific Relations from
right.
the very beginning.
And now what they're doing is they're eradicating the middle class from America so that people will agree to basically be slave work units here in the United States. You know, basically work for lower rate wages, give up their retirement benefits, whatever the case may be. The same big picture is being used here in the States as well. And as more and more people have their houses stolen and they end up homeless on the streets and they can't afford to buy food and all the rest of it, you know, and they're going to create a situation where these people, you know, do whatever they have to do to get a loaf of bread to feed their families. And, of course, they're viewed as the criminals when the actual criminals are the ones that are causing all of this to happen. And, of course, we have a bigger percentage of our population incarcerated in prisons than any other country on the face of the planet, even China. And so as we see this whole thing coming down, it becomes more and more obvious that, you know, America, once they take America down, then the party's over. And I know that's not going to happen because people like us are going to do everything we can in order to wake up the people that they have nothing to lose. They are already dead. If you don't stand up for your family, if you don't stand up for your very genetic structure, and that's why, you know, I talk about the bioweapon vaccines all the time. They're destroying everything. You have nothing to lose because you're already dead. If you don't stand up against the psychopaths, then your future is gone, period. And that's what people have to do. They have to grow a backbone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we gotta fight. And, I mean, I'm just here to say that a lot of bad people need killing. And they're right here in this country. They're gonna kill us. You know, it's not that I'm, being, overly aggressive here. I'm being defensive. They intend to kill us all.
They are killing us. They're already killing us. Yes.
And so anybody that would do that needs to be killed right away. First opportunity they give us. And that means that a roadblock or a home invasion or coming around to take you for a civil commitment because of something you wrote on Facebook. Anybody that would do that needs to be shot right now. It means you got to have a gun on you at all times because it's going to happen when you least expect it. Brandon Robb was walking around in his shorts with no shirt on when he got knocked to the ground and handcuffed and told, "You're not under arrest." Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, he's a Marine, for God's sake. What the hell was he thinking? He's writing, and the government, you know, he's walking around in shorts with no shirt, no shoes, and no gun. What the hell is that? You got to be armed all the time. I don't care where you are. You've got to be ready to defend yourself and your loved ones right now, without hesitation, like I say, at the drop of a hat. You hear a discouraging word by somebody with a gun, you might as well start shooting, because it ain't going to end well if you think you're going to talk your way out of it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and if you think you're going to, like, get out a copy of the Constitution and flash it in front of them, that they're going to go laughing into the vehicle with you in handcuffs, as you said.
Yeah, my lawyer's been Larry Beecraft. Call my lawyer. Yeah, right. He'll go to prison, too.
Well, if he's not working for the other side, which most of them, you know, to keep their bar license, they have to do what they're told. So, you know, the idea of finding an honest attorney, there may be a few out there, and apparently the attorney for the guy that you're talking about was a good guy, but, you know, they're very rare. You know, you can count them on probably two hands.
Exactly.
Well, I want to just bring up, I recently received a very important DVD entitled Monkey Blood, and this is in regards to why do some people, only 15% of the population, have Rh negative blood, because although those of you with Rh positive blood actually have rhesus monkey genes in you, and what's up with that? So I would encourage you that have the courage to check this out to get this DVD, Monkey Blood. It's very enlightening. But they do talk about what we need to do in this DVD. They talk about the Committee of 300, the 300 families that are destroying the world, and they talk about the three biggest fears of the Zionist ruling families that are destroying our world. And this is what they say. Their three biggest fears are exposure of their crimes against humanity, of losing public support when the public realizes who the monsters really are and they stop doing what the Zionists want them to do. There's going to be a problem. And they also talk about organized resistance by an informed and fearless public. Now, of course, that becomes difficult because they always have their infiltrators and provocateurs to infiltrate any organization, and that's why I talk about more of a grassroots situation. But they very strongly say that peaceful protests don't work, and this is what they suggest people do. Withdraw money from the banks and the stock market. cut up your credit cards, refuse to support wars and troops. They are not protecting us. They are actually working for the Zionists. Stop voting. Stop obeying laws that disempower the public. Stop supporting superstores and other, elite-controlled organizations. Grow your own food. Stop donating to charities run by the psychopaths. For example, the World Wildlife Federation is run by Prince Charles and does the exact opposite of what they purport that they're doing. Refuse to honor false claims to resources by privatization. They're stealing everything. They're stealing our national parks. They want to privatize water. I mean, once you really see what's going on, you have no choice but to get involved. To name names, the corporations that are controlled by the monsters have to be exposed. One thing they talk about is, as far as the stock market, people believe that they buy stock and they own a share of the company. In fact, the only people that own a share of the actual corporation are those that own Class A shares, and those are only owned by the elites. The other shares mean nothing, and that you have to reject propaganda, especially that in the Bible, that basically, you know, God wants us to, you know, have this revelation time and all the rest of it. And they talk about arresting members of the Committee of 300, which basically, you know, you talk about arresting the Council of Foreign Relations. And I don't claim to have all the answers in how it's going to all go down, but this is an idea that I came out with for a plan of action. If the people in great numbers could demand that each agency or corporation be compelled to evaluate itself in public view and divide themselves into the psychopaths and their sellouts versus the whistleblowers who are telling the truth about what's really going on, and that the psychopaths in each group are then put into an overall psychopathic group, which can then be quarantined or exterminated or whatever the people decide to be. And I thought this was a very good idea because, of course, you know, this is turning things around on the psychopaths, because what they do, you know, you can file a complaint against the bank, against the court, or whatever, and then they will investigate themselves and find themselves not guilty. But, you know, this is the opposite of that, of compelling them to investigate themselves and report who are the psychopaths who are doing the wrong thing. And of course, the easiest way to start the weed out process would be to find out which members of each group recite the Kol Nidre, the oath not to keep their oath, which happens on the Day of Atonement, which is pretty hilarious when you actually think about it. And the evidence against the psychopaths could be broadcast on the internet, an international trial for crimes against humanity. And upon being found guilty, the suggested penalty would be quarantine and termination of all involvement with these Zionist-controlled corporations. And they could perhaps be put on an island or whatever the case may be. And in fact, this evening on my show on Republic Broadcasting, my guest is going to be Kevin Annette, who's actually started an action against the Vatican and the Church involving crimes against humanity and murder of Native peoples in their residential schools and things of that nature. And he's kind of got a master template of what we need to do. He hasn't brought it to the Zionist level, but what he's doing is just amazing. One of the things he's recommending people do is post on all Roman Catholic churches a warning, you are entering a crime scene, and then talking about how the priest or bishop in this church is required by the Vatican law, known as crimen solicitanus, to protect child rapists and conceal them from public harm done to children by church employees, etc., etc. So basically what he's starting is an action for the Catholics to arrest their own bishops and priests and basically take over the property. And, you know, I think that's a really good idea. So I just wanted to throw that out there, that that's my idea, that we have to force all these different organizations to expose who the predators are within their own organization. For example, the FDA is now going after their own scientists who have come out and stated publicly that they're allowing, fatal drugs to be released on the public and things of that nature. And instead of going after the companies making the killer drugs, they're going after the scientists who are exposing the fact that these are killer drugs. And so, this is what people have to realize, is that all of these agencies that have been created to protect us are actually protecting the wrongdoers. And, we're paying for it. So I just wanted to put that out there. I don't know how this could all take place, but I do know that once people that work in these organizations are made to realize, see, they think as long as they do what they're told and they, follow instructions, that they're going to get their paycheck and they're going to be able to, survive, etc. Not realizing that they're also being killed by another, wheel in this cog of evil, and that basically their very life is being threatened as well. If you look at the big picture, it shows you what's going on.
Yeah, that's good. I have a lot of time for Kevin Annette. I think he's terrific. And he's paid the price up there in Canada for exposing the mass murder of Indians and the theft of their land by the church and the Canadian government. It's an unbelievable situation what he's uncovered. Now, I don't...
Right. And what he's uncovered, and then you bring it to the next level and you say, okay, people, you're not Native American. You thought you were safe. No, no, no. Because people like you and me and John Kaminsky and others have shown that we're all being robbed. We're all being killed, okay? So basically, once that's done, and then you bring it to the next level, and then you say, okay, we're all being annihilated or robbed blind by these monsters. I won't even use the word victims, because that's going to be turned around to be the victors. But basically people like him that have an idea, and like I said, he doesn't go to the Zionist level. I haven't really talked to him about that. I admire him for what he's doing. And then once he's doing what he's doing, because September 15th is the big day, he's given them until that time. And then he's basically put the police on notice in England and Ireland and Scotland and Canada and other places that if you're protecting these psychopaths who have committed crimes against humanity, then you go into the defendant's box as well. It's aiders and abettors. So that's kind of like a master template for what we need to do with all these monsters. And then we'll see where it all goes.
Yeah, one correction. I don't want anybody arrested. I mean, we got no place to put them, and I don't know what to do with them. And you can't really expect the cops to take them and put them in jail. I mean, they've got to be killed. The entire Council on Foreign Relations, all 4,000 members, have to be executed. And any of these renegade cops and feds that want to do us harm, they have to be killed. You can't arrest them. I mean, so it's we're at war, as you say. And in war, you either kill or you get killed. That's my message.
And let me just say that may sound like a strong statement for you to be making. However, let me remind people that you are already being killed. Okay. They're not using bullets so much right now, except for in their fake wars. And the cops, I mean, here in North Carolina, every week we're reading about cops killing people, tasering them till they're dead. You know, never do they have any legal consequences to their actions as the, various agencies investigate themselves. They always find that it was, they were protecting themselves, whatever. But what I like to tell people is you are already being killed. They are using vaccinations. They're using psychiatric drugs and other drugs. They are already killing you. So if you think the word kill is a very strong word, then you have to face the fact that you're already being killed. So if you're being killed, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to turn the other cheek? Are you supposed to love your killer? What are you supposed to do? Because none of that crap is working.
On a lighter note, as you heard about the fiasco in New York the other day.
Yeah.
New York's
the Empire
finest
State killings. Yeah.
New York's finest mowed down 9 bystanders. I mean, I don't care who you are. That's funny.
Exactly. Right. And, of course, you know, the perpetrator usually gets killed, except for when they have major PSYOP purposes like the Aurora, Colorado shooter and people like him. You know, they want to keep that going in the news and keep showing him on TV with his red hair and all the rest of it. But, yeah, that was pretty amazing that, you know, this guy comes out to kill one person and that they shoot 9 other people. Yeah, that's how they're protecting us.
Yeah. We're from the NYPD. We're here to protect you.
Right. And of course, and of course we know, you know, that's just another cog in the wheel of, oh, we have to get the guns off the street. You know, the guns are the problem. Apparently this guy moved to New York from some other state where he was allowed to carry. And so, you know, if only none of the states had the ability of citizens to carry weapons, then these things would never happen.
Well, if his victim, the guy that he shot, had a gun on him, maybe we'd had 9 fewer people with bullet holes in them today.
Exactly. I mean, it's ridiculous when you think about it. That people are watching this stuff. And, of course, it's designed to cause trauma and, you know, all of these different things on the population, you know, trauma, fear, you know, these are their weapons as well, as we discuss. And it's just totally disgusting. So I'm waiting for the day, as I said, when the men step up and they protect their families from the terrorists, the domestic terrorists. Which are destroying our country, and hopefully the military will wake up, because many of them are coming back and becoming police officers and continuing to do what they do, to kill innocents, because that's how they operate. And if we don't stop this, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, that's my program is to get the military comes and enlisted men and the junior officers to turn on this, on the corrupt senior officers who have sold out to the Council on Foreign Relations. This is the mission. I mean, these guys all took an oath to defend us from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, we don't really have any foreign enemies. You know, we create enemies by killing innocent people. But our enemies, our true enemies are right here in this country in New York, Washington, Los Angeles, Chicago, members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Anti-Defamation League, AIPAC, you know, the World Zionist, whatever. This is the enemy. And the military guys have to come to terms with this. They have to see that the ones they swore to defend us against are right here in this country. They've got to be executed. That's the mission, and that's my mission, is to get them to do this. It's not a big deal. It's pretty fundamental. So I think guys like Brandon Robb can probably see this when it's presented to them properly. And that's what I'm going to be doing.
But of course, the problem is, Bruce, that the people at the top of their chain of command are also controlled by the Israeli psychopaths as well. And so, you know, they have to basically get together and agree that they're not going to follow orders to exterminate the innocents. And this is a problem, of course, because, you know, if they don't follow orders, then they're basically accused of war crimes or, you know, sent in prison for they're accused of crimes, and they're sent to prison in the military.
That's cool.
For example, if they refuse vaccinations, they're put in prison. Right. But yeah, the thing is, they have to realize they're being killed as well. The vaccinations that are being given to them, you know, Saddam didn't have any weapons of mass destruction, and so they should have said to themselves, wait a minute, why do I have to get anthrax vaccines and all the rest bits of this crap injected into me, and oh, by the way, they're not even told what they're being given. Why are you court-martialed if you refuse to accept the bioweapon vaccines? But they don't even have the courage to ask that hard question.
You're right.
Yeah, it's very daunting. And of course, this whole, you know, scam that's going, oh, if they get their arms and legs blown off and then they get, you know, a purple heart or whatever the case may be, it's just so ridiculous how they fall into that trap and believe that they're actually heroes and, you know, the whole Wounded Warriors project and all the rest of that. Warriors? Warriors for what? What are they warriors for? You know, what I try to do, if I see military out and about, I basically give them some of my business cards and check out, or tell them to check out, you know, what they're actually protecting. Because if they don't want to face reality, it's just like everybody else. They're just being used. They will be used up and they will be killed off, especially, you know, the soldiers in Afghanistan, you know, that are being sent in to guard the poppy. You know, they must be asking themselves, wait a minute, what's going on here? How does this all work out? And eventually they have to realize that they've been scammed about their whole service, that they're protecting the poppy growers because this country needs opium. And it has nothing to do with terrorists. We are the terrorists, as you said.
Yeah, and now the veterans are, of course, at the top of the terrorist list of the U.S. government.
Right.
That could change things. That could be a game changer for us once these poor guys realize that they're now number one suspects since they got home. That's the kind of thing I need to make this thing work. And I think it's going to help a lot.
Exactly. Okay, well, we're almost out of time. I want to just tell listeners your site again, J.B. Campbell, extremismonline.com. He's working on his newest essay, which he started talking about at the beginning of the show, which I'm sure he'll have up within the next day or two. And he's agreed to be a guest on the show every month, so I don't know when he's going to be on next month. It depends on his schedule. But I encourage you to check these things out, people, and spread the word, because we're running out of time. Everything they're doing is telling us that everything, our water, our food, our air, you know, our very health is at risk, and they're killing us off every day. So either you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution. Silence is consent, and you're aiding and abetting your own demise. So I want to thank you, Bruce, for being a guest on the show. Excellent show as always. And let me just close by saying the views expressed on this broadcast are the views and opinions of myself, J.B. Campbell, and the listeners. It does not reflect the views of the station. So thank you so much, J.B., and we'll talk to you within the next month.
Okay, silence ain't golden, it's yellow.
Exactly. Okay, bye-bye, listeners, and check in to RBN tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, where Kevin Annette will be my guests. See you next week. Bye-bye.